The following show is dedicated to Mia Park and Barbara Yang. The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga on this Valentine's Day 2026. We're in the middle of February already, and I tell you, the year is going by so fast. I say this every week, that years go by quick. And used to be when I was growing up, I always remember my grandparents saying, oh, the older you get, the time goes by faster. But talking to some of the college kids here, they said, boy, time's going by fast. So maybe the world's spinning around a little bit faster. Anyway, glad you're with us today. And I've got a great guest today, Chris McSwiggin, who I met last night for the first time, but we've been talking for a couple weeks. And Chris is the voice of the Thoroughbreds. And the Thoroughbreds is the name of Skidmore sports teams. And he calls the basketball, boys and girls basketball game. So, morning, Chris.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
This morning thing is killing me.
I know.
I'm not, you know, built for, I haven't been to bed that early on a Friday night since high school, probably. But I didn't want to sleep through it, so yeah. I had to get to bed early. But
well, you're having a tough weekend this weekend anyway with the two games last night.
It's business as usual, though.
Yeah.
I'm used to it. The doubleheader setups for those who are not familiar with the Liberty League, they always have the, you know, women's game first, men's game second. They have a Friday night and a Saturday afternoon. And then sometimes they'll have a Tuesday as well. So it's Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. And it's always a doubleheader in conference. So I plan for it. You know, I'm used to it at this point. But it's going to be a little harder today because, obviously, I'm running on limited sleep. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll see what happens.
And you're nonstop when you...
you have to, yeah.
Yeah, I saw you last night where I was sitting, and it's like you're nonstop.
Well, I do it different. I mean, my background is in radio, and so that's where I started doing play-by-play. And it's weird because you don't have to do it that way, the way Skidmore has it, because they have it on YouTube. So you can watch the game like you're watching it on TV.
Okay.
But I still do a radio-style broadcast where you have to describe the action that's happening, and you do it, you know, that way. So it's, yes, it is a lot of talking, but and you know, some people love it, parents love it, the community loves it. But I've had some people that is like, you don't have to say that much, we know what's going on. But it's just I get into that habit and it just clicks.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's good to do that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, some broadcasters say that there's a big I don't want to say rivalry, but a big gap between TV broadcasters and radio broadcasters. I'm not saying they don't like each other, but they're different styles, and some guys will snub their nose at it. They'll be like, well, you know, you do radio, or oh, you're just a TV guy. You don't have to analyze anything, you know, and you just have a conversation the whole game, you know. So there's a little competitive rivalry back and forth.
Sure.
But so I tend to do both. I tend to blend both styles together,
yeah.
which has worked for me, but it's not everybody's cup of tea, I guess.
Well, you know, radio is still very important because it's one of the last mediums that'll go down in emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
If you have, I mean, you can still broadcast where you know, the TVs,
if the power cuts or something,
power cuts or whatever. So radio is still an important part of life. Now, the games that that you can watch on YouTube, can anybody do that, or do you have to subscribe to?
Nope, they're public channels.
Okay.
You just go to Skidmore Athletics, and they have a little graphic of Skidmore's logo and whoever they're playing, and you know, it'll say, you know, Skidmore Women's or Skidmore Men's. You click on it, and the video pops right up, and you'll hear my voice over the top of it.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
so
excellent.
It's good.
Give us a little background about yourself. I know you went to college for...
Yeah, so I went to Hartwick College in Oneonta, and I was broadcast journalism major out there, and I wanted to... I knew from an early age that sports broadcasting was what I wanted to get into. You know, not necessarily radio in general. I'm not a huge, you know, politics guy. I know that's a big radio topic. You know, and some people have, you know, they have their niche, they have their show, things that they like to talk about. Like, you know, you have your show where you feature guests and you know, talk about pretty much anything. I was really sports focused, and from a young age, having played sports, but I knew that this was sort of my calling because, you know, when I was a kid, my mom used to, you know, give me crap all the time because I'd be playing like Madden or something like that on you know, well, at the time, I'm older now, N64 or something like that, you know, original Xbox, and I'd play it on mute, and I'd do the game myself sitting in my room, in my living room. And she'd be like, "I hear you talking. Who are you talking to?" "I'm talking to myself. I'm doing the game. You know, I'm calling it the way that I think it should be done." Now, was it good? Probably not. But that's what I used to do. And from that young age, I felt like there's something about radio that, or something about a call that, you know, when you watch it. Are you a big sports guy? Do you watch a lot of sports?
Yeah, well, I'm a big Yankee fan.
Yankee, oh, me
I
too,
like
yeah.
The Buffalo Bills.
Okay,
Bills, I mean,
okay.
You know,
they got
Syracuse
robbed this year.
Basketball.
Okay, my whole family went to Syracuse. I'm the only member of my family that didn't go to Syracuse.
Oh, really?
And just because I wanted to play basketball in college, right. And I wasn't the right qualifications.
Well, I have family up there. I grew up in this area. But,
okay, yeah, my family's
from
Syracuse.
They had season
yeah.
tickets for basketball and football.
Okay,
so
for
I used
Syracuse.
To go up, and that's yeah. when the Big East was at the powerhouse.
I missed the Big East, yeah.
Yeah, so we used to go. I used to go up, and Ewing was in Georgetown.
Ooh,
and Mullins
yeah.
was at St. John's, and those were great games to watch.
I remember that they had Georgetown was the big rivalry back
oh, yeah.
in the day. My parents used to talk about the Georgetown game was always the big one.
Big one.
They
yeah.
graduated in '82.
Okay.
So they, my dad played lacrosse there and everything. So, yeah, big Syracuse fan myself as well, but yeah, so I knew that was my calling that I wanted to do, and my goal initially was to go to Newhouse, which is the big broadcasting school there, but I didn't end up going to Syracuse, but I could have. But yeah, there's just something about a game, and I asked if you like sports, because when you watch a game or listen to a game, I've always found that there are parts of a game that you don't necessarily remember. It's the call
mm-hmm.
that made you remember it, and it's that moment that if you watch that same moment again on mute, you're like, oh, all right, he made the shot, or oh, he caught the pass, right. or whatever. But it's the excitement and the way that the broadcaster calling it made you feel about
yeah.
it that is nostalgic,
well,
and that's
what
what I wanted
like.
To capture.
You know what I like is to watch a game and listen to it on the radio.
I used to do that with the Yankees because I used to be a big John Sterling fan.
Yeah.
As corny as he is, I used to listen to that, and I'd have the game on mute and listen to the Sterling broadcast. A little
yeah.
bit delayed, but you know,
well, that's
I'd watch
okay.
It, yeah.
But I mean, the radio broadcasters seem to bring more excitement.
Yeah, well, they
to
have to
the call
yeah.
right than
yeah.
you know.
I mean, most of the time, people listening are driving. They don't want to put
right.
them to sleep, you know.
Right.
But no, they yeah. I used to love radio, but I feel like it can capture the moment more. Because you have to use the English language more, and you have to paint a picture for
right.
somebody who can't see what's going on. And you almost can get into that moment more as you're describing what you're seeing.
Sure.
You know, whereas a lot of the times with the TV, you know what's going on as a viewer, so you can just kind of talk stats or, you know,
oh, yeah, right.
kind of just have a conversation
right.
or whatever, but you don't necessarily need to get as into it unless something big happens.
Right.
But with radio, even the little moments, you gotta let them know this is important,
sure.
and you have to paint that
exactly,
importance.
That picture
and
for
so, I, in a way, it's a little bit more difficult, but it's I think it's more rewarding, honestly.
Yeah. Well, what amazes me about you is that you don't have a broadcasting partner.
No,
so
it's solo.
You're taking that game mm-hmm. and you're talking nonstop, and you have to be thinking of what's going on and what's happening next, and you keep going.
You have to know the game too that you're broadcasting. Like I've gotten offers to do hockey, soccer, you know, lacrosse. I don't know the rules as well,
right?
So I feel like I did a hockey game once just for somebody as a favor, and I had to like Google what icing was, and I know that's a big thing in hockey, you know.
Sure.
So I feel like I know I played basketball my whole life, so I know the game of basketball. I know football, so. If you can anticipate, like there's a kid that one of the broadcasting associates that works actually at RPI, his son is 17, goes to LaSalle, and wants me to work with his son. And his son wants to get into the broadcasting and everything. And I listened to a game that he did, and there's some times where he's got the voice, he's got the energy, but the anticipation's not there.
Right.
Right? I can almost see a play developing before it happens.
Okay.
So in a way, I kind of know, okay, based on the trend of where the ball is going around the perimeter, where the pass is going to be, who's going to catch it before they catch it. So I already know, this is who passed it, this is who's going to catch it, this is where he's probably going to go with it. And I can anticipate that instead of, you know, I hear some broadcasters where they wait until the play happens, and right. They're like, and he passed it, and now he's going to dribble. And he's, you know, whereas I can see it and go, all right, he's going to make the pass corner. All right, now he's going to dribble drive, and then it happens, right? And so I'm like, oh, and a little validation to yourself. You're like, okay, I was right about that, you know? But you have to kind of be quick, because if you're not quick, TV, you can kind of mull through slow. Radio, you got to be quick, because especially in basketball, it happens so fast.
Oh, yeah. Well, last night, I went with a friend, Jack.
Yes, yep.
Winnick from here. And the first time I saw Skidmore basketball, and it's funny to watch the girls' game compared to the guys'
game. It's a different
game. Yeah, it's a different game. But I'll tell you, one of the things that I said to John last night, I said, where the heck is that trailer? I mean, you got the point guard bringing mm-hmm. the ball up, and you know, the poor guy gets trapped by two or three players. I said, where's the trailer that he can, you know?
Well, if you're going to press defense properly, you're going to take the trailer out of the equation.
Okay.
Your whole idea is to trap him in the corner and not give him an outlet to make the pass, either waste a timeout or get a turnover. That's a trap defense, especially full court, run properly. That's what you're supposed to do.
Okay.
Because you only have 10 seconds to get the ball over the half court line.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's 10 seconds. So, and that goes by quick. So if you are looking around trying to find somebody and they're not open right away, you're kind of in trouble. So, yeah, I mean, I get it, but you also have to have, you know, let's say you do come out of the trap and you throw it over the half court line. Now you've got uneven numbers. Now you've got, you know, four defenders and only three people down there.
Sure.
So you want to have, you know, as many numbers under the basket as you can. So, you know, it's, and that's the beauty of basketball, too, is it's a chess game. You know, how are you going to beat what they're throwing at you? And, I that's why I've always loved the game of basketball, was just there's so many intricacies to it.
Sure.
That, you know, to make it special.
Now, are you more into college basketball against the pros?
Or absolutely. Yeah.
That's amazing.
The pro game is, I'll watch it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Celtics fan, I guess, just because my last name. you know, that's, I've always been. But the NBA is, yeah, I respect it. I respect the guys, and I would go up on MJ and Kobe and those guys.
Yeah.
But you're watching the NBA now, and there's, you know, the games are like 130 to 125.
Right.
There's no defense at all.
No.
And the college game just has more, I guess, emotion, more energy, more dramatic moments to it. You know, you don't really get drama in the NBA, at least in my opinion, until the playoffs.
Right.
You know, whereas every college game you watch, there's some moment you can take away and go, wow, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, see, you grew up with those guys. I grew up with Elsendor and Havlicek and Reed. And those were great days. I guess every generation has a different game.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it evolves and whatever. But, yeah, I like college. I like
March
Bills.
Madness is fun. March Madness is probably the most fun sports event that I've witnessed in a long time. Unfortunately, you know, for us being Syracuse fans, they've had a couple down years.
Yeah.
But having Syracuse in that perennially pretty much every year for a long time, it was always fun to see where they're going to be seated, where they're going to play, who they're going to play.
Oh, yeah.
And then some of the special moments of March Madness has always been fun.
Well, ever since they joined ACC,
it's a gauntlet. I mean, you look at their schedule, and it's brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, they're playing a nationally ranked team every week, it seems like. So it's tough, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, backing up a little bit, what do you do in your normal life?
You're
a great broadcaster.
Yeah, I work in marketing.
Okay.
And a lot of what I do is sports driven. I'm always going around doing different freelance sports and different things. Like Skidmore, unfortunately, doesn't have football.
Right.
So I have to find a football team to do in the fall. But I mostly work in marketing for my dad owns a advertising company for grocery store advertising and things. So, you know, if I need a little extra money, I'll do some sales for him on the side.
Sure.
That way. But really, my main focus is, you know, sports and sports media. And I just kind of bounce around and do games all over the Northeast.
Well, I figured you had to do something with marketing because your first show was on Thursday. And when I did a search on you, it was all over the place on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
So you know how to market.
Yeah, no, I think technology nowadays, you kind of have to. And for those listening, you know, a cheap plug here, it's, Between the Reins. It's Thursday from 4 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I want to get a full sports talk show. But this, what my show is it's a showcase. It's a hour-long interview with players, coaches, staff, you know, and getting to know them outside of just what you see at a game when they're coaching. Getting to know who they are as people, what their journey to Skidmore, what they do in their personal life, and kind of an in-depth breakdown of who they are, both on and off the court. And I figured that was a good way to get the community involved with, you know, arguably one of the biggest parts of the town is the school.
Well, sure.
To get them to know a little bit about some of the big figures here, you know. So I wanted to do that. It took me a little while to get in, to find somebody to, you know, obviously we ended up hooking up and, I got in on the radio. But I've been trying for years to get in the radio station, couldn't get in touch with anybody. So finally now I guess, is the time that I finally am able to do what I wanted to do.
Feel.
Yeah, I wanted to do that. I've had plans for this show for years.
Really?
Yeah, a long time. But I just haven't had the means to be able to get in and get in touch with anybody. Because, you know, it's student run.
Oh, yeah.
So it's different class every year.
Yeah,
and, you know, finding the right email. And no one really wants, in today's day and age with security, no one really wants to give you a college kid's information.
Right.
Especially a female college student, you know, being me.
Exactly.
What do you want her info? Yeah. You know, her number, her this. Because, you know, you don't know who people are nowadays.
Oh, no, you
don't. And they're just, they see me, I'm 37, kind of a big dude. You know, they're like, well, why do you need her number? Well, I want to talk to her about the radio. Oh, is that all you want to talk to her about? Yeah, actually, it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I've gotten into that a lot, too.
Sure.
But now we're finally in, and we're good to go. So,
well, that's great.
It'll be good.
It's fantastic.
Mm.
Horse racing was
a
big part of your breakthrough, too, wasn't it?
It was. Ironically, now I call games for the Thoroughbreds, and that's really where I started. And it was always captivating to me because I'm not a gambler, really. I mean, I'll go to the track and, you know, things like that. But I know there are some people who are a lot bigger on the gambling aspect of horse racing. But the big thing for me when I was a kid was I was put onto the Secretariat Belmont Stakes in 1973. Do you remember any of that? Arguably the greatest sports moment in history, and some people would say.
Well, Secretary, I used to come up here. I mean, I was young and probably in my early 20s. And what they did, they paraded Secretariat around the track when he was retiring. And back then, you didn't get the big crowds that you do up here. So I got up near the fence, and when he walked by, I patted him on the butt.
Well,
today you'd be arrested for doing that.
Yeah, true, pretty much. Well, the thing about that race when I was a kid, I grew up in the 90s, 2000s, but watching that as a kid, I'm very thorough with things. If I'm interested in something, I dig all the way into the history of it. So, of course, I watched the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont for him. But for that race, if you watch it on mute, it's a bunch of horses running around a track, right?
Right.
But the call of it,
the call was amazing.
And there were certain parts of that call that stick to you that you still remember. And to me, I was like, wow, okay, this guy just made that really interesting, you know. And as a kid, I was like, this is why would I care about this? But I care about how he made me feel about it,
right?
So that's why broadcasting to me was wow, if you can make, you know, a bunch of 3,000-pound animals, you know, running in circles interesting, you can make anything interesting.
That's right.
So, you know, and so that I started looking at horse racing and listening to the calls, not even watching the races, just listening to how they called it. And that's originally what I wanted to get into. But, you know, there's a monopoly on that. You got to – those guys who have been calling that have been calling them for 50, 60 years.
Right, and you got to move around the country.
Oh, yeah. Kentucky and Maryland and all that. But
you know, you get a job for like 8 or 10 years and then – they decide to get rid of you because your salary is going up.
Well, I was there in 2015, and it's funny you said Secretariat was when he was retiring. One thing that's interesting to me is I love drama when it comes to sports, and the angle and the cool thing, at least to me, about Saratoga was they call it the graveyard of champions. Right. I don't know if you've heard that, but every major horse that has come here has lost,
sure,
including Secretariat. Who hadn't lost a race ever in his history outside of Saratoga.
That's right.
And, he did afterwards, but Onion, yep, exactly. Which who? You know, Onion, like, what did he ever do?
Right. Whoever heard.
So the crazy thing was I was there in 2015 when we had our, we had Justify won it in 2018, but before that, 37 years it took to get a Triple Crown winner.
Right.
And American Pharoah won. And I remember watching American Pharoah's run and all that, the Belmont. And then he comes to Saratoga and gets beat by Keen Ice.
Right.
And
it was locally owned.
Yes, yep. And I was there for it. Now, of course, when you're at the track, there's 50,000 people screaming. Everyone's you can't really hear the call. But I went back and listened, and it's actually a pretty miraculous call. And one thing that Chick Anderson was Secretariat. Larry Colness, who was the caller at the time, one thing he says at the end is, "The graveyard of champions has claimed another." Yep. That's how he ends the race. And I always thought that was pretty cool because you always have to have some sort of a finish line, pun intended.
Right.
You have to have a line that sticks with somebody.
Right.
And that line to me was, I was like, wow, that's okay. Graveyard of champions.
I'm lucky.
I like that.
I work up there in the summer as security guard.
Okay.
And I guard the press box. Stairs.
Okay, yeah.
So
you knew Larry Colness?
Oh, I knew Larry really well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, his call was amazing on that.
I was very sad when he ended up having to leave.
Yeah.
But, and American Pharoah's owners owned a couple other horses during that year. And there's a box right next to me. It's a glass enclosed box.
Mm.
And they would sit in there. So I got to know the owners pretty well, the father and the son. And the American Pharoah had a workout. I think it was like a 5-minute workout the Friday before. And
before the
Travers, 15,000 people showed up to watch that 5-minute workout.
Yep.
And,
it had been 3 decades, almost 4 decades since we had a Triple Crown winner.
Yep.
So, you know, it was a big deal for him to come here.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I know it's a big thing. Horse racing is become really part of the town's history and culture,
sure,
all the way from the mob days back in the, you know, back in the 50s. It has become a big part of the town, hence why maybe Skidmore's called the Thoroughbreds.
Right.
But I know, Traverse Night is, I worked in the entertainment business for a while too, just as a side job. I was in the nightlife business for a while, and I know Traverse Night was always huge for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a special event. You know, I drive Uber now on the weekends and stuff during the summer, and I know that track season's always huge, you know, for us. Just and I love the whole aspect of horse racing and the media behind it. I know a lot of people might think it's boring, but I like, you know, that. And Larry was great. What happened? Where did he go? You said
he's
had to leave.
Yeah, he's out in near Kentucky somewhere.
Okay.
He had a dispute with, he didn't have the dispute, but the
NYRA
did, with a increase in salary.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Because
his voice was iconic, too.
Oh, he calls pretty much the three races in the Triple Crown because he calls
Oh, yeah, because
so well.
He's great, yeah.
Yeah, and but we keep in touch on Facebook.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Maybe 4 times a year.
Sure, yeah.
Because you get to know him from being downstairs, and I'm in the press box all the time. So.
The I was excited when I heard we were getting Belmont.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're doing the whole reconstruction of the track down there and everything. And I thought, wow, we can actually maybe crown, not just have a Triple Crown winner come here, but crown one here. And the last 2 years, obviously, that didn't happen.
No.
We have one more shot at it this year. We're getting Belmont again. So maybe another shot,
well, you
potentially.
Know,
but
I'm really disappointed in the Triple Crown races now. You get somebody that wins the Derby and they don't want to run in the Preakness. And they want to save it to the Belmont. So.
That happened this year, this past year, just because of, you know, weather constricted it a bit.
Yeah.
And the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness were so close together. Normally they got almost a month difference and they can warm up for it. But
right.
It's not what it used to be with the Triple Crown because, you know, if a horse, it's different with a horse. If an athlete gets injured, they can come back and they can rehab and whatever. Horse gets hurt, you got to put it down.
You got to put it down.
So, so they don't want to risk their big money horses.
Sure.
And I don't think the Triple Crown, unfortunately, has the prestige around it that it used to. But I definitely know it's a big event. And, you know, obviously, I'm excited for Belmont to be back again this year.
And, but. You know, I, growing up, you know, with Secretariat and Aladar and Affirmed and Seattle Slough.
Seattle Slough.
I mean, that's when everything
he came
was
from
kind of exciting.
Seattle Slough, didn't he? Secretariat was
I think
a product of one of those horses.
Might be, but I thought they
it's too early in the morning to think
Secretariat.
Here.
But I could be wrong.
Oh, no, maybe one of them came from him. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, I think Secretary sired one.
He sired one of them, yeah. I knew it was something like that.
Yeah,
possibly, because that name is registering. Yeah, so.
But, I mean, it was Aladar and the firm that had the duels all the time. And it was like, it was, I don't know.
Before that, War Admiral Seabiscuit.
Yes.
Way back in the day. And Seabiscuit's another horse. They made a whole movie around him.
That's
he
right.
lost at Saratoga.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah, it's wild.
And it is a graveyard of champions, and you wonder why, but.
Yeah,
anyway.
Something about the dirt. They said something about the dirt's a little thicker here. I don't know.
Yeah.
But.
So you got the Saratoga gig by just persevering?
Through the station here.
Yeah.
Yeah, just hammering and trying to find somebody, talking to people in the athletics administration and students and different things, and, hey, who do I got to talk to? Who do I got to be involved with? And, you know, because it's student-run here, it's tough for a lot of the administration to, well, I'm not sure exactly who the student is.
Yeah,
and,
they let the
you know,
students
and,
run the station.
Yeah, well, which is good, which is, when I was at Hartwick, it was the same thing. WRHO 89.1 out there.
If you have a good board to work with.
Yes, of course, and that's a big part of anything when it comes to any kind of job or anything. But I was finally able to get in touch with the right people. For a while, I thought, you know, I wasn't going to be able to get in here. There'd been a couple of times that I'd popped in. I found out where it was, and I waited outside the door. It's going to sound creepy, but I waited outside the door because Johnson Tower is a dorm.
Right.
So I waited outside until somebody came out and just kind of snuck in and found out where the radio station was and popped in here and was like, hey, I introduced myself, but there was nobody in the studio at the time. A couple times I came, it was empty. So I was, you know, I came all the way up here for nothing. But finally persevered, and I think that's the main thing. If there's something you want bad enough, just keep at
going
it. Don't
for it.
Yeah, don't don't let anything get in your way.
And they do have a what they call a big meeting every
the
beginning of the school term in September, and one when they get back.
Which, with my background being in radio, I'd like to come to a couple of those, and maybe if anybody does have a talk centric type of show, obviously to maybe mentor somebody or give them some pointers or something. Because I mean, I've been doing this for, I mean, I'm 37. I've been doing it since college, so, you know, a good almost two decades now, so.
Excellent. Yeah. Hey, I want to tell you, you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. If you do want to give us a call, 518-580-5783. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. Yes. Too much cheering for the Thoroughbreds last night.
You get a lot of calls? Are people call in? Okay.
We don't get a lot of calls here. I, when we were on the radio station, we got a lot of calls.
Yeah, yeah.
But their listening area is small, but the stream is what carries
national.
The station.
Yeah, it could be national. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's tough. Anyway,
I can work on that, though.
What was your favorite sports moment?
Okay.
And
my
witnessed and called.
Okay, I was going to say, my personal or one that I've seen. Well, I'll start, I guess, with Witnessed, because there's a couple I could choose from. I know off the bat which one personally for me, but boy, I mean, probably honestly that the Larry Colness Travers call honestly was just to be there and see that happen and then go back and listen to it was awesome. But also when Chris Davis in the Iron Bowl for Auburn, mm-hmm. Auburn Radio, when he ran it back 109 yards,
right.
Rod Bramfitt, the radio guy down there, his call of that was awesome. It was in a Southern accent, but it was awesome. I've witnessed the Big East Championship. Well, it was the semifinals, but the 9-overtime game. Okay. UConn and Syracuse, yeah. I was there. That was cool to witness. But, of course, when you witness it, you don't necessarily hear the media aspect. You're there in person.
Sure.
But that was cool. And then, obviously, I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan. It's been a tough 30 years for me there. But going to the 10-year anniversary of September 11th in MetLife, Cowboys-Jets, was a good one, too, for me to witness.
Okay.
Play-by-play wise, I also was a big professional wrestling fan growing up, and I don't know if you've ever watched anything of that. But
when I was younger, you know, you had Moose Sherlock and
way before me, but there's a guy named Jim Ross,
okay,
JR, and he is known in that industry as being probably the best play-by-play guy ever. And the way he would make you feel when you watched it, the way he would sell the action, even though, yes, it's scripted and it's fake and all that stuff, but the story that he would tell on the air and the way that he would bring the emotion in and make you feel like you were invested. And one of the big things, him and Paul Heyman's another guy who is big in that industry, kind of guided the way I look at media, and this is from a wrestling standpoint, but you can apply it to anything, is you got two guys, right, let's say, or now two girls now, but who are they? Why are they fighting? Oh, we do have a phone call. Look at that.
How about that? Good morning, caller. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is John. I'm listening to the show. Great show,
John.
So far.
Yeah.
Well, hey, John.
I'm glad you called.
Yeah, I've been thinking of a good question to ask, and now that I've listened to you for a little while, I was hoping to get a little preview from your guest on today's big matchup and maybe promote the situation that's going on at Skidmore. I'll let him divulge everybody on that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the call.
You're welcome.
And keep listening.
Yeah. Thank you.
I will.
Okay, I'll John. Have a great day.
Yeah, have a good day, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, it's funny that John brings that up because it's almost like a perfect segue. And what I was saying was Paul Heyman was a guy who, I'm going to use it from a wrestling context, but who are they? Why are they fighting? And why should I care? Right? Those are the three things you need to sell to the audience. And when it comes to what I do when I approach anything, when it comes to play-by-play, in this case, we'll use Skidmore. Who are the two teams? Skidmore and St. Lawrence play today. Why are they playing? Well, for a bid in the Liberty League Liberty League tournament. And why should I care? Well, if you're a Skidmore fan, if you're a St. Lawrence fan, if you care about the conference and college basketball and what the stake is for it and whatever. So I have to try to portray that to the audience and the listeners as, you know, who are these two teams? What is their rivalry? What is their overall record against each other? You know, in the last 10 games, what has happened between these two? You know, the average score differential, all that stuff between them, kind of a history. Why are they playing? Well, what are the standings currently? What's at stake for Skidmore? What's at stake for St. Lawrence? You know, what could happen if this team wins or this team loses? What, you know, and why? Well, why should I care? Well, hopefully my call makes it so that you get that emotion behind it and be like, wow, okay, so Skidmore's in. They're in the conference tournament. This is great. Or, all right, they just missed it, but maybe next year type of deal, you know?
Now, today's extra special, though, correct?
It is. It's Senior Day. Senior Day and Big Green Scream, which is kind of, I guess, the way you could describe it as homecoming for basketball.
All right.
It's the big event. They have T-shirts and all sorts of stuff that they give out. They bring the whole bookstore out to the main lobby and let you buy stuff. Of course, you got to buy it. You know, right. it's America after all.
Sure.
And you know, you come out and you do all that, and it's a big thing for the players and for the seniors that we have out on the floor. Which the cool thing about running the broadcast for a school that's Division III, not Division I, which has the whole transfer portal and all
right.
that stuff,
oh,
which
yeah.
is
that ruined the game.
Basically like free agency for college sports, is I get to call the entire career of these kids for the most part, from the minute they're a freshman until today when it's maybe their last home game, depending on if we host a conference tournament game or not. And for, you know, on the women's side, you have, and I'm gonna pull it up here just so that, I mean, I know this off the top of my head, but I just want to double check one more time just to be absolutely sure. But, you know, on the women's side, obviously today, Madison Meyer, who's from right down the road in Duanesburg.
Right.
Hopefully I can have her on my show at some point. I'm focusing on coaches and staff first, but hopefully with class schedule I can get her on. She's the only
senior.
Melissa Severino as well, and Severino from Mohegan Lake, New York, as well is the two that are being honored on the women's side today.
Neat.
And then on the men's side, who had a huge game last night? I don't know. You didn't stay for the entire men's game, right?
No, I left with 10 minutes.
Ten minutes left.
After, yeah.
On the men's side, Joey Skorick. Now his brother Greg Skorick played. Called his whole career for 4 years. Now Joey is now a senior.
Okay.
And Joey reminds me of kind of a Dirk Nowitzki in a way. You know, big, tall. He's 6'10". You know, he's not as big as his brother in terms of physical muscle on the inside,
right.
but he's got range. He could shoot. He hit 2 threes yesterday at 6'10", which is crazy, especially at this level. So you have Skorick. You have Charlie Weisberg, who's a senior, who's the Loyola Maryland transfer. He'll be honored today, as well as Alexander Nunn is going to be the three seniors on the men's side. And, you know, John does a good job of he has a whole little thing set aside for them to, you know, he reads off about their career and academics and their major and all that. And you know, it's a good celebration. There'll be family in attendance. Former players will be here. And
I learned more about Skidmore basketball last night from John.
Yeah.
John Winnick, who runs the food service out
Well,
here.
John Meany is the one I was talking about. He'll do a good job doing the play-by-play, but John Winnick is Meany
pretty well, too. But John goes to all the games, John Winnick. And, you know, they have the snack.
Oh, he's at everything.
There.
Yeah, he's
a
big
he's
sports
amazing,
guy.
Amazing guy. Yeah, he really is. And he was explaining to me all, you know, about the players. And one of them had a brother that went on and went on to play in Europe from Skidmore.
Which one was that?
I can't remember.
Was it Skorick?
It could be. Yeah.
Okay, because I know he's the only one I can think of that had a brother that I can think of off the top of my head that played in the program.
Yeah, I think so. But it's, you know, so I told him, I said, you know, I'd like to go to more games with you next year. It's a good time.
It's great. And, you know, hopefully I can do some more sports. I know the baseball fields are kind of away from everything, so it's tough for them to get a broadcast out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lacrosse on Wackenheim Field, I can do lacrosse if I need to.
Sure.
You know, softball, I've done games for them before that way. So, you know, I'd like to expand horizons a little bit into some other sports for Skidmore. But obviously football's one that they don't have that I'd love to do.
You're trying to get more sports. I'm trying to get my voice back.
Yeah, I hear you. But and so transitioning back into your question before John called, so we mentioned the one I witnessed, but my favorite sports moment, I would say myself, there's two, but one's positive and one's negative. And my favorite, I guess, positive sports moment that I've personally been involved in is when I was at Hartwick, and my roommates were all, I was a basketball guy, my roommates were all football. And one of my good friends, Mark Theofel, still a good friend to today. I was in his wedding, you know, his close friend. He's the defensive coordinator at Hartwick now. and he's a big defensive guy. He played safety, linebacker, things like that at Hartwick. And I was a broadcast journalism student, and I was like, hey, how about if I do your games through WRHO 89.1 out there for the Hartwick radio station? And we did. And I remember it was my junior year. We had a quarterback named Jason Boltis. Hartwick was a 500 team. I don't know if you know, those of you listening know what 500 means, but it's an even record. It's right. Not a winner, not a loser, but kind of meh, average. And we played a gauntlet back in the Empire 8. I mean, you had Ithaca, at the time Springfield, but Ithaca, Springfield, Alfred, St. John Fisher, Norwich. I mean, you had just a crazy, and Ithaca's now in the Liberty League, but they were Empire 8 back then. And they played, I think, four nationally ranked teams in a row, and for the first time they had them at home. Okay. And so this was probably the best Hartwick team that we had had in a while. And I remember, and this is really what launched, catapulted me into broadcasting. As a student broadcaster, St. John Fisher came to town, number 5 in the nation for the Division III level. And they were supposed to steamroll us. I mean, they had their, you know, they had more fans there than we did. And they were the away team. And they were supposed to steamroll us, and it was a back-and-forth game. You know, a score, trading scores, trading defensive plays. And I still, I mean, this was 2009, and I still can close my eyes and picture it. I was on the call. I wish I still had it. I'd go back and send it to you to play it. But it was 28-28. St. John Fisher comes down the field, kicks a field goal to go up 31-28. We come down the field. We tie it up. On a long field goal. I mean, 50-yard field. I mean, it was a prayer of a field goal, but we made it. And so then they come down the field, and they just wanted to get out of there. They were like, this is not supposed to be this close of a game. You know, we're supposed to run over these guys. We had already beaten Ithaca. We had already beaten Alfred. We had already beaten Springfield, which had never happened in the program. And, again, number 5 nationally they are. So they come down the field in the final drive, and they're doing anything they wanted. Draw plays, reverses, screens. They're moving down the field quickly. They get to the goal line, maybe the 2-yard line. It's fourth down, fourth and goal from the 2. And they could kick a field goal, win the game, and get out of there. But they wanted to stick it to us, right? Now, we had kicked a field goal previously, I believe. Yes, we had kicked a field goal, that long prayer field goal I'm talking about, to take the lead.
Yep.
Okay, they come down, and they're like, all right, we can tie the game, go to overtime with these guys, or we can get out of here. They go for it. They choose not to kick the field goal. They go for it on fourth and goal from the 2, and we stop them. And I still remember that ball bouncing out, and I still remember just the reaction, and my call as a student broadcaster, having beaten Fisher for the first time in history. Well, not in history, but in a long time. And we had lost the season before, like 51-7 or something. So to have beaten them and to be part of that moment and be the, you know, the voice for Hartwick when they finally beat Fisher, who was a top-5 team, when Fisher very easily... Oh, no, you know what it was? The field goal could have won it as well. That's what it was, because we were up by 2.
Oh, okay.
And they could have kicked the field goal and won, but they wanted to stick it to us and run it in and be like, you know what, we're better than you. We're going to go for it. And they made the choice to go for it, and we stopped them. And we hadn't stopped them all game, and we stopped them there. And for that call, for me, was my introduction, really, to sports broadcasting, because I was still a student. I was a junior.
Yeah.
But that's really what was like, you know what? That moment, not just how the locals listening and the parents listening at home and everything felt, but also how it made me feel as a broadcaster,
sure,
too, was like, wow, you know, I want to, this is kind of what I want to do. And then I changed my major from broadcast journalism to broadcast journalism with a sports media focus. Right. And that's...
I stand corrected. John sent a note in that the the player we were talking about was Rupkus.
Oh, Edvinus, Edvinus Rupkus,
and,
okay.
He thinks that he went on to play in Greece.
Oh, yeah, and, well, he was from Lithuania.
Okay,
That's where he originally was from. Mount Everett, all-time leading scorer in Hartwick history. I'm on a Hartwick story. Skidmore history,
yeah.
All-time leading scorer, yep. Yeah, Edvinus. And it's funny, I get it. It's just things are lining up today. I don't know if the stars are aligning or what this morning, but thanks, John, for another segue.
He's full of them, believe me.
Well, oh, yeah, I bet. The other moment that stood out to me broadcasting-wise came here at Skidmore, and Rupkus was actually part of that. I had a call that was sent in to ESPN for, you know, what would have been their bad break segment on SportsCenter, but the school didn't send the video, and they have to play video. It's you know, it's a TV broadcast, so they didn't end up airing it. But it was funny because Rupkus, senior year, I believe it was his senior year, we were down to Vassar. We were trying to fight, just like we are today, trying to fight for our Liberty League tournament lives, and we were playing Vassar, who was always pesky, and Rupkus took the ball, drove in, got the layup, took the lead, hit the free throw. Okay, so we were up by two, and play, you know, 3 seconds left. Place was going crazy, right? I used to call him Mount Edvinus because he erupted. You know, that was my little nickname for him. I still have this call. If I can send it to you, if you want to hear it, but I still have it on my phone. So Rupkus scores, hits the free throw. Vassar has 3 seconds to get it in. They do the little weave drill. They don't bounce the ball at all. They throw into one guy. He throws in the other guy. He takes the three from like 40 feet out and does that little flop motion in the air. Okay, it didn't touch him, but he did that little jerk motion. They call the foul with no time on the clock. Zero's on the clock. And I still remember B.J. White was the player for...
Always tough.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But the player for Vassar, B.J. White, I still remember, took the three, wasn't even close to him. But, you know, he acted. It was good. It was an Academy Award-winning performance. And goes to the line and hits three free throws in a row to win the game by one. And it was tough because Hobart was the number one seed that year, and we had them on Friday night. This was on a Tuesday. And, you know, Vassar was like 6-14 and, you know, had a losing record in the Liberty League. That was not a game we could afford to lose at that juncture. And I still remember my call on that when they called the foul with no time left and he made all three. And then Vassar stormed the court on our home court, and it was so there's positives and negatives. I look back at it at the time where you go home feeling bad and you're like, oh crap, that was not good. But now I look back at it, I'm like, that was actually one of, despite the loss, right, one of my better calls and better moments.
Now, John, he's a good friend of mine.
Sure, yeah.
And he's a sports nut, and he's an excellent golfer, too.
Oh, okay, and, I am not, but okay.
Well, he's fantastic. Yeah. But
mini
his
golf,
brother
I can
played
play well
for
golf,
Fisher football.
Oh, Fisher, okay.
Yeah, and he was an academic all-star defensive back.
Was he on that 09 team that lost to Hartwick?
Well, early 90s, I don't know, but
oh,
he was 90s. The captain.
No, that's way
he
before
was the
me.
Captain of the team.
Okay, for St. John Fisher, yeah.
And I don't know, but John is really a sports enthusiast.
Sure.
And he's a great guy, but yeah, he's an unbelievable golfer, yeah, too, so... I can putt.
I can play mini golf, but I'm not.
Yeah, I can't.
You wouldn't want me on your golf team.
I was asked. I wanted to golf. Took lessons. Went golfing with a friend. He took me out on the state park golf course, and after nine holes, I was asked to leave.
Oh, nice.
Because I was holding everybody up.
Fair enough.
So that's my foray into golf, because I got home, I threw my golf clubs away. And,
I've never bought any. I go to the driving range every once in a while if I want to blow off steam. But, yeah, I'm not anything competitive with golf. Not my thing.
No way. Who's your favorite interview for your career?
Oh, I was going to say I've only done one here so far for this show. But overall?
Yeah, overall.
Interview. We've talked to a lot of. I have a wrestling podcast, so okay. I've talked to a lot of actual professional wrestlers as well. Right. Diamond Dallas Page, Ken Shamrock, Animal from Legion of Doom. We've talked to
Legion of Doom.
Oh yeah, that's a corny name, but that's what they call themselves. I've talked to. I'm trying to think now. Oh, Ricky Dragon Steamboat. We've talked to before. Everything went down with him. We talked to, I'm trying to remember his name now. Some of the bigger guys. I said Ken Shamrock was on. Ric Flair we had on the show. So we've had some big time names. The Steiners have been on. Booker T's brother I guess Stevie T was on, and so yeah, I would say probably some of the pro wrestlers that we've talked to on the podcast, which is the Attitude Era Live on Monday nights. It's an internet show. It's not a radio show,
sure.
But you know, that was probably some of those guys because I grew up watching them, and then
right.
You get to actually sit there and talk to them. Buff Bagwell was another guy that we got to talk to, and you know, I remember watching. Yeah, dude, I was a kid. You were part of my childhood. Now I get to talk to you. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
I can't
yeah.
think of one in specific because I've talked to so many bigger names when it comes to wrestling. But that's probably. I haven't had too many opportunities to talk to sports athletes professionally because, you know, a lot of my radio base has been on college radio stations or on podcasts where I'm sitting in my living room. So
yeah.
A lot of those were call-ins. And the fact that they called in to my show
was,
you know,
awesome.
we yeah. scheduled them. I had a scheduling department that would schedule them. But the fact
sure.
that they called in, I got to talk to them. So, yeah, I'd say probably Ric Flair. That was probably
okay.
the best one.
Now, I want to ask you not about basketball
sure.
or football. And I here again, I'm going to bring John's name up because I think he's a Pittsburgh Pirates fan.
He was telling me that yeah. Poor guy.
And I know. But, hey, they have a great pitcher this year, last
Paul
year.
Paul Skeens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully if he
dating
goes,
Livy Dunn.
Yeah, hopefully yeah. if he goes free agent, the Yankees can get him. But
if we have a season.
Do you think the Yankees will ever win another pennant?
Boy, I sure hope so. Growing up on that, you know, three-peat Yankee team.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, some of those 90s,
yeah.
late 90s teams were amazing. I thought we had a shot this year. I thought we had a shot 2 years ago.
Yep.
Obviously, we won it again in 2009 was the last time we won it. But
right.
I want to say yes, but the way that baseball is right now, I mean, ever in history of baseball, yes, I'm sure
oh,
they will.
Win.
I'm
yeah.
sure they will.
Yeah.
But in recent times, the way that the Yankees used to buy everybody and they
right.
used to just bully everybody out there with money,
yeah,
they're just not spending the way that they used
no,
to.
I
mean, and it's a day and age where you have to spend money
well,
to
George
get the players.
If George was alive, you wouldn't have.
He may.
You
but look at the Dodgers.
Him.
Dodgers are probably broke baseball.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and there might be a lockout coming and everything now
yep.
because of that. So, you know, the Dodgers are spending the money that the Yankees used to spend,
right.
and they've won two out of the last three.
No, I know.
So,
well, the I think the Yankees back in the 90s there, when they were winning, they mm-hmm. had that core four, and they were all
yes.
really they were
yep.
all really
well, they had
good.
Pitchers. I mean, they were loaded. That,
oh, they
yeah,
were
that
loaded.
98 team
and they
was
had
loaded.
The best reliever ever, as
Mariano,
far as I'm concerned.
The
Mariano,
Sandman.
Yeah,
yep.
he was like
yep.
the best I ever
yep.
saw, and I saw a lot of good relievers yep. way back.
Well, old Yankee Stadium was a special place, too.
Oh, yeah.
Very
yeah,
special
saw a lot
place.
Of games there. But, you know, they had Sparky Lyle and Gossage, and in the 70s, they were great towards the late 70s.
He wasn't the guy with the mustache, was he? The big mustache? Goose Gossage?
Gossage. Goose
he had
Gossage.
The big mustache,
yeah,
right? Yeah, that's
big,
what I thought. Okay.
Big guy, yeah, he was a big guy, too. But, yeah, I just hope they get it back on track. They seem to get right to the brink, and then they fall off the ledge.
They just
know?
They don't have the players anymore.
No.
I mean, they have Judge.
Well, and
but
he
they
can't
just
carry
won't.
The whole team.
I mean, he almost did this
oh,
year, but they don't. Yeah, they just don't have that loaded roster. Like those teams, those when you tried to pitch, it doesn't matter who you were. I look at the World Series that they swept the Braves, and you got John Rocker, you've got Smoltz, you've got those guys coming up, and you're like, wow, okay, Braves have some Cy Young Award guys
oh,
and
yeah.
pitchers.
Yeah.
But that lineup, there was not a weakness in that lineup.
No.
From top to bottom. And, I mean, who you want to throw at? Pettit was a pitcher. You want to throw at Tino Martinez, you want to throw at Bernie Williams, you want to throw at Paul O'Neill, you want to throw at Derek Jeter, you want to throw – it was one after another.
Sure.
And
Chris Chambliss, I mean, he was
yeah.
great.
Even Brocious and those guys, Knobloch, like, it's just
yep.
– you know, and now it's like there's gaps in the Yankee lineup. It's
yeah.
like they have Judge and who's around them, you know?
Right.
And I don't feel like they have the same firepower that they used to have. So
no, they don't.
Until they start spending money again, that might be the
well,
case.
Yeah, that's the name of the game. I mean, even in football. Today,
everything.
That's everything.
But there's no cap in baseball. There's
no.
luxury tax, but there's no specific amount where you're
oh,
like,
yeah.
you have to spend this much money, you can't spend any more than this
exactly.
type of deal. Baseball
exactly.
can give them whatever they want, and I think the Dodgers are showing that right now
yeah.
as to why they've almost broke baseball in a way.
But there's silly spending on players. That
but they're backloaded contracts. They're in trouble in a couple years, especially
yeah.
with like the Shohei deal and all that stuff. They're...
Yeah.
they're great now, but they might not even be able to fund the concessions in about 5 years because they just have given all their money away to like three guys.
Well, you know who they get? If they can't fund concessions, they get John Winnick.
Why not?
He'll bring him.
I'm sure he'd love to do it.
He would love to do it. But I don't know. So, got a few minutes left. What's your future plans in radio?
Well, I want to expand this show that we're doing on Thursdays. Obviously, make this into something. And over the summer, hope to have a sports talk radio, an actual legit sports talk format radio show here. I want to continue to do broadcasting. Hopefully, you know, I'd love to stay at Skidmore, but if an opportunity comes along at a higher level, obviously, you know, you got to weigh your options. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I want to, I'm old school. I know it's the age of podcasts. Everyone wants to do podcasts. Yeah. But if I could have a radio show where I can just come on and talk sports and take callers, and I'd be happy as a clam for the remainder of my years. So hopefully I can turn this into something, but if not, hopefully this becomes a launch pad to maybe a bigger radio station down the road, hopefully somewhere locally.
Well, that's great. Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks for being with
us. Yes, not a problem.
Chris, I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good having you awake now. It was tough getting up early, yeah, but I'm up now.
And you got a tough day ahead of you, too.
I do. I'm not going to sleep because if I go home and fall, I live at Clifton Park. So if I go back and I fall asleep, I got to be back up here at 1 o'clock for pregame. So I'll sleep right through it. So I'm going to stay up. I'm going to do the two games, and then I'm going to go home and pass out. So that's what I'm going
to
do.
That's the way to do it.
Yep.
And, yes, John, we will fly you out to L.A. And
you might. I don't have the budget for that, but you might.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks.
Yes,
thanks
not, yeah, not a problem. Glad to be here.
Driving up. All right. Yeah, no problem. Right now.